الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد Then it gives me great pleasure, walillahi alhamd, to be in contact with our brothers and sisters from Russia, from with Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah in that land which Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, of course, are few in number, but that nevertheless does not cause any person who loves Allah and loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to lose determination. Rather, Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, whether they are strong, meaning much in number, or whether they are small in number, that they remain determined upon the truth, that they remain steadfast upon the truth, that they are those individuals, whether they are alone or many, that it does not cause them to waver from the haqq. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ Indeed those, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ That indeed, those who say that our Lord is Allah, then they are steadfast, meaning strong and firm upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then upon them descend the angels at the time of death, saying to them, أَلَّا تَحْزَنُوا That do not grieve. Or, as Allah subhanahu as the wording is, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا Do not be afraid, and nor should you grieve. Because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informing those individuals who believe in Allah, and they believe in the last day, and they are steadfast upon the haqq, they are steadfast upon the truth, they do not fear the blame of the blamers. They are not harmed by the numbers who oppose them. They are not harmed by those who abandon them. Because they know that this deen is a deen that is carried throughout the generations by those individuals who are steadfast, who are upon istiqama. They are upon the sirat al-mustaqim. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَزَالُ تَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم على ذلك That they will never cease to be a group from my ummah manifestly upon the truth, clearly manifest openly upon the truth. They are unharmed by those who oppose them. They are unharmed by those who oppose them. Meaning, those who quit them and abandon them, those who forsake them and betray them, they are unharmed by them. And they are unharmed by those who oppose them, meaning khalafahum, those who differ with them, and those who يعني, oppose them and oppose the sunnah, they are unharmed. Atta yati amrullah, up until the command of Allah comes, and they will still be like that. Wahum zahireen. وَهُمْ عَلَى ذَٰلِكِ In a narration, that they will still be upon that, regardless, up until the command of Allah comes. This ta'ifa, that is mentioned in this hadith of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, are Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah. They are Ahlu Sunnah. They are the ones up on that day whose faces will be bright and white, and they'll be illuminated. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in his book, يَوْمَ تَبْيَدُّ وَجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وَجُوحٌ On that day, some faces will be white, meaning يوم القيامة. And some faces on that day, on يوم القيامة, will be black. Abdullah ibn Abbas, رضي الله عنهما, he said, as for those faces that will be white upon that day, يوم القيامة, then they are أهل السنة والجماعة. And as for those faces that will be black and darkened upon that day, then they are أهل البدعة والفرقاء. Then they are the people of innovation and the people of division. So the people of truth, they stick to the truth. They stick to the path of the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every place, every time, no matter how close to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no matter how distant from that time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there will not come a time except that the time that comes after it is more evil than the time that came before it, up until you meet your Lord. So the time that we are living in is more evil than the time that came before this time. This is a time regarding which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that whomsoever, there will come a time in which whomsoever holds on to the truth, to the sunnah, times the reward. In that time, is it because the Prophet was asked by the Sahaba of what that will they receive 50 times their reward, meaning the reward of their time, of rather it will be 50 times your reward. So the reward of holding on to the truth in times of fitna, in times which are close to the hour being established, in times where not many people are holding on to the truth and it is very difficult to hold on to the truth, then in that time there will be an immense reward. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith which is authentic upon in a time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or rather Abdullah ibn Abbas or Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, wherein he said that you are living in a time where holding on, you are living in a time in which the ulama are many and the khutaba, they are few. The scholars are many and the preachers, those who just speak with kalam, that they are few. And whomsoever, that he, even if he lets go of a tenth of the deen, or of a tenth of that which he knows to be the truth, then he will be destroyed. And you will, and there will come upon you a time, or there will come a time in which the ulama are few, and the khutaba, and the speakers will be many. So in the early part of Islam, of course, as in this narration, that the ulama are many and the khutaba are few. So if a person was to let go or relinquish even a tenth of what he knows, then he will be destroyed or he will be misguided. A time will come when the khutaba will be many and the ulama will be very few. But whomsoever holds on to even a tenth of that which he knows to be the truth in that time, then he will be saved. We are living in a time in which the speakers, those who just speak and speak without knowledge, they are many in number. And the ulama have become fewer. In this time, we are commanded to hold on to the haq, to the truth and the people of truth. Those who follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And not to abandon that path or that way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once was sitting with his companions, and they were sitting upon a mat. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that indeed there will be fitna. So the companions, they did not hear. So one of the Sahaba, he said, He said, did you not hear what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? That there will be fitna. So then the Sahaba, they said, Ya Rasulullah, how should we be in that time? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took hold of the mat that he was sitting upon. And he said, you should be like this. And he held on tight to the mat, meaning that you should hold on. Hold on to the haqq. Hold on to the sunnah. Hold on to revelation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that whomsoever lives, وَمَنْ يَعِيشْ مِنْكُمْ سَيَرَى إِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whomsoever lives for long after me will see a great amount of controversy and differing. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا أَرَفْتُمْ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. So you are obligated to follow my sunnah. وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. And to hold on to the sunnah of the rightly guided successors after me. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. In times when there is ikhtilaf and iftiraq and separation and splitting, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded in this hadith that you return back to the sunnah of Allah's Messenger and the sunnah of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Those companions whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to in the Quran, that if you are to follow them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if they were to believe in amanu, that if they were to believe bimithli ma amantum bihi, that if they were to believe in the manner, in the likes of what you believe, faqad ihtadaw, then they will be guarded. So if the people were to believe in the likes that the Sahaba were to believe, then they will be guided. That if they were to turn away from that, that if they were to turn away from that, فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ, then they are the ones who are in shiqaq, meaning that they are the ones who have split away and separated from the revelation and from the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Sahaba here, that the belief of the other people, of everybody else, that if they believe like you believe, Sahaba, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Abu Huraira, Ibn Mas'ud, Ibn Abbas, Aisha, Salama, if they were to believe as you believe, then they will be guided. And if they do not believe as you believe, then they are the ones who are upon a different path and upon a different way. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Khatta lana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam khatta. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drew from the line of the sun. And he said, Thumma qala hadha sabilullah. He said, this is the straight path of Allah. Thumma khatta khatutun an yamihi wa an shimalihi. Then he drew lines to the right and drew lines to the left. And he said, هَذِهِ سُبُلٌ مُتَفَرِّقَ. He said, these are the paths of divergence and misguidance. عَلَى كُلِّ سَبِيلٍ شَيْطَانٍ يَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ. Upon the head of each one of these paths is a devil calling to it. So the point here being that the Prophet ﷺ drew for them a straight line. That being the path of Allah. All the other paths that he drew, then they are paths of misguidance. Devils at the head of one of them, according to his path. The Prophet cited the statement of Allah, وَأَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الضُّلَّ فَتَفَرَّقُوا عَن سَبِيلِهِ. And this is my straight path, so follow it. And do not follow the other path, for they will depart away from his. So the path of Allah is the one straight path. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in an ayah, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَسْيَرًا. That whomsoever contradicts the messenger, after the guidance is made clear to him, then he chooses a path of the Sahaba. Then Allah will leave him in the path that he's chosen and burn him in the hellfire. And what an evil destination. For what? For one, contradicting the messenger. Number two, for opposing the Sabeel al-Mu'mineen, the path of the Sahaba, the Mu'mineen meaning the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Those individuals who oppose the path are on a path of destruction and misguidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety. So we have been obligated to follow the truth. And the truth is not by numbers. You are living in Russia. Yes, you are, some of you in Moscow and other places. But that doesn't mean that the haq changes. The truth is still the same. The universal, ultimate truth is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set down by way of the kitab and the sunnah, the ijma of the sahaba, and that which they were upon. The Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu say, al-jama'a ma wafaq al-haq law kunta wafaq, that the jama'a is that which agrees with truth, even if you are one person. So the jama'a is not many people. The jama'a is the truth. That's why when they asked the great Imam Ishaq bin Rahawi rahimahullah ta'ala, who died in the year 38 after the companions of Imam Ahmed, they asked him, who is jama'a? He said, the jama'a, it is Muhammad bin Aslam al-Tusi, meaning one of the great imams at that time. He said, when they asked Abdullah ibn Umar, who is the jama'a? Of course, Ishaq bin Rahawi, the generation after Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar died in the year 181. When they asked Ishaq bin Rahawi, who is the jama'a, meaning in the 3rd century, he said, Muhammad bin Aslam al-Tusi, the great imam, the muhaddith, the great scholar of his era. Why? Because this she was upon the truth. So then he said, when they asked Abdullah ibn Mubarak, who is the jama'a? Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, it is Abu Bakr and Umar. So this was the generation earlier, meaning Abdullah ibn Mubarak died in the year 181. He said, it is Abu Bakr and Umar. Then he was said to Abdullah ibn Mubarak, qad mata. Abu Bakr and Umar are dead. Who is the jama'a? Then he said, it is Abu Hamza al-Sukkari al-Khurasani rahimahullah. And Ishaq bin Rahawi said, and this Abdullah ibn Mubarak ibn al-Mubarak said that in the lifetime of Imam Abu Hamza al-Sukkari rahimahullah ta'ala. Showing my brothers and sisters that the jama'ah is not measured by numbers, it is measured by the haq and the people who carry the haq. This is how we measure the jama'ah. So this gives a person determination that regardless of how many people oppose, you don't worry about their numbers. Don't be deceived by the fact that so many people are following misguidance. Don't be deceived by that. Rather, that our determination and our vision is fixed on the truth and the people of truth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, stick and hold fast to these two after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. Is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Again, showing the people that it is not about numbers. It is about Abu Bakr and Umar. Not about numbers. It's about holding on, knowing the people of truth, adhering to them. Not blindly following just the masses, as Imam al-Barbahari said, that they are people who answer the call of everyone who springs out to them. And they are the rabble. They are the rabble. So don't be deceived by the rubble. By the great numbers. Fudayl ibn Iyad said, don't be deceived by the great number of people that are upon falsehood. Rather remain upon the straight path. Remain upon the straight path. And that path is, of course, the path of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. The first and foremost to believe from the Muhajirin and from the Ansar, companions, then those who follow them precisely, بإحسان, بإتقان, closely and precisely follow them, رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Allah is pleased with them. And they are pleased with him. Sahaba. Radiallahu anhum, it is their path. Khairun nas qarni. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, best of mankind is my generation. In a narration, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, which of mankind are the best? He said, Ana walladhina ma'i. Me and those who are with me. Meaning Sahaba. Thumma alladhina ala al-athar. Then those who follow that athar, meaning ahlul athar, those who follow their path, thumma alladhina ala al-athar, then those who follow their path. This is how you measure sahaba, then those who follow their path, then those who follow their path. They are the people who hold on to the truth. They are the people in every generation, لا تزال تائفة من أمتي, that they will never cease to be from my ummah, dhahirina ala al-haq. In a narration, ala al-haq. They are aided by Allah. Surah, path of salafiyya. This is salafiyya. This is the way of the salaf. Those who follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba. As Ibn Mandur, rahimahullah, said in his excellent work that he mentioned, this great scholar of the Arabic language, that he mentioned Salaf, referring to those who came before you. As-Salafu Salihin, the best of those who came before you, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the early generations. Imam al-Sam'ani rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in Al-Ansar that there used to be a group of people who came before, and they used to refer themselves, or they used to have this isab to Salafiyya. They used to refer to themselves with the ascription of Salafi. So this term has been used from the earliest times of Islam. It's not a newly fangled term. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Fatima radiallahu anha, that indeed I am to you a blessed Salaf. The hadith in Sahih Muslim, clearly proving that those who came before, that they are our Salaf. And those who follow them, that they are Salafi. Those who came before are the Salaf. And we have been commanded to follow the path of the Salaf. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that when the differing occurs, عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين. That when the differing occurs, then hold on to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided successors after me, Salaf. They are the Salaf. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said, La ayba ala man adhara madhhab al-Salaf. Wa antasaba ilayh, wa a'tazza ilayh. That there is no criticism whatsoever upon the one who ascribes himself to the madhhab of the Salaf. And that he connects himself to them, that he ascribes himself to them, and he affiliates himself to them, rather that is to be accepted from him by way of ittifaq. That it is accepted from him by consensus, by ijma, by ittifaq. For indeed he said that the madhab of the Salaf, that it is nothing except for the haq, except for the truth. By Ijma', Volume 4 of Majmu' al-Fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And likewise, Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned with regard to Darul Qutni. He said that they were, Imam al-Darul Qutni,
that he said that there is nothing that is more hated to me than ilmul kalam, than rhetorical speech, where a person tries to use his intellect to argue with the proofs and the evidences of the Quran and Sunnah. Nothing more hated to Imam Daruqutni rahimahullah than a person who was to do that. And then Imam Dhahabi rahimahullah, from the 7th century, he said, for indeed, Imam Daruqutni was a Salafi. He was a Salafi, meaning that he stuck staunchly to the way of the Sahaba, Prophet ﷺ, and the way of the Sahaba and the earlier generations. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that indeed, I sought knowledge for 46 years, and I met over 1,000 ulama, and they did, and in the various lands that he traveled to, he mentioned where he met them, in Mecca, in Medina, in Baghdad, in Basra, in Kufa, in Khurasan, in Naysabur, in Bukhara, in Yemen, in Masr, in Egypt. He said, I met them year after year, generation after generation. Year after year I met them. And they did not differ with regard to the following points of Aqeedah. Then he mentions the points of Aqeedah, showing, my brothers and sisters, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were united upon their Aqeedah. Then the generation that came after them, Ahlul Sunnah, Ahlul Hadith, the scholars of Hadith, they were united upon the Aqeedah. Then the generation that came after them, that Imam al-Bukhari took from, they were united upon their Aqeedah. That's why 1,000 of them would not differ with regard to the points that Imam al-Bukhari collected. They believed that Iman was speech and action, and that it increases and it decreases. That they believed that the Quran is the speech of Allah, not created. They believed that innovations are to be condemned. They believed that the pre-decree, that the actions of the servants, and that every measure is by way of the pre-decree, that everything that occurs is by way of the qadr of Allah, the pre-decree of Allah, the creation of Allah, the writing of Allah, the will of Allah. That this is the pre-decree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written. They believed that the sunnah is to be followed. They believed that it is not permissible to rebel against the Muslim ruler or to fight against him. They believed that it is not permissible to raise the sword against the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They believed that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are to be loved and revered, and not to be criticized or cursed. These are the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah. Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah have beliefs that they do not differ in, and they have never differed in, from the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum till this time. They believe that there is a bridge over the hellfire that everyone will pass, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. There is not one of you, as Allah has mentioned in Surah Maryam, there is not one of you except that you will pass over it, meaning the bridge over the hellfire. They are scales that the deeds of the children of Adam, meaning the Muslimin, that they will be weighed by. Their good deeds and their evil deeds to weigh. So we believe in the Mizan Yawm al-Qiyamah. We believe in the Shafa'ah, in the intercession of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and other than him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Those who are deserving to intercede, that some of those intercessions will be specific to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the beginning of the judgment, that is khas, that is specific for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When mankind will rush to him, after they will go to Adam, and he will send them on. Then they will go to Noah, and he will send them on. Then they will go to Ibrahim, and he will send them on. Then they will go to Isa ibn Maryam, and he will send them on to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will intercede. He will call upon Allah. He will make dhikr of Allah. He will glorify Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the right of intercession. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, Ana sayyidu waladi Adam yawm al-qiyamah, that I am the master of the children of Adam on the day of resurrection. وَأَوَّلُ مَنْ يَنْشَقُّ عَنْهُ الْقَبَرِ, and I'm the first one for whom the grave shall be opened. وَأَوَّلُ مُشَفَّعٍ وَأَوَّلُ شَافِعٍ, and I'll be the first to be given the right of intercession, and I'll be the first to intercede. عليه الصلاة والسلام. The intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Abu Talib, not to be removed from the hellfire, but to be put in a lighter part of the hellfire, so that his punishment is eternal, which is not as severe as he would have deserved, due to his aiding the Messenger of Allah in Mecca. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for Ahlul Jannah to enter into Jannah. Then there is the intercession. Then there is the intercession of those who are allowed to intercede, such as the righteous and the pious and the rest of the prophets and the messengers and the shuhada, the martyrs. So Ahlul Sunnah believe in the Shafa'ah, Yawm Al-Qiyamah. But Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they refute and they rebuke the shirk of those who seek intercession of the dead in their graves in this world. This is the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah. Barakallahu feekum. So we refute those individuals who go to the graves of the awliya and they take the dead in their graves as intercessors in this world. So they say, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the mushrikeen in the Quran, when Allah told them and condemned them and obligated them to worship Allah alone without any partners and not to call upon others. So the mushrikeen, they responded, هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَآءُنَا إِنْدَ اللَّهِ, that these are intercessors with us, with Allah. Our intercessors with Allah. So this is what you find people doing even today. Same as what the mushrikeen used to do in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, we believe in the bliss, in the reward of the grave and the punishment of the grave. We believe in the questioning of the grave, wherein the deceased person will be asked in his grave by the two angels that will sit him up. In a narration that they are referred to as Munkar and Nakir. Two angels, black and blue, severe and strong. And they will say to that person, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? If he is a believer, and he was a believer in this world, he will say, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah. Then he will be asked, Ma Deenuk, what is your religion? Then he will respond, Deeni al-Islam, my religion is Islam. And then he will be asked, who was this man? Or man nabiyuk, who was your prophet? Or man hadha rajul, alladhi bu'itha feekum, or who is that man who was sent amongst you? Then he will say, that man was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or nabiyyi Muhammad, or my prophet is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah. We believe in the matters of the unseen that have been reported to us through authentic narration. Whether those narrations are mutawatira or whether they are ahad, as long as the ahad narrations are sahiha, that they are authentic upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether they come through numerous chains of narration or whether they come through smaller chains of narration, then we believe in them so long as they are authentic. Whether they have been reported by Bukhari or Muslim or other than them from the books of Sunnah, the books of Sunan, Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, An-Nasai, Ibn Majah, Musnad of Imam Ahmad, the Muwatta of Imam Malik, the Musnad of Imam Shafi, we believe in them. Whether it be the Sahih of Ibn Khuzaymah, or Ibn Hibban, or Al-Hakim, the Mustadrak, as long as those narrations are authentic and the scholars of Hadith, the Muhaddithun, have authenticated them, then we believe them, whether they are pertaining to the matters of the unseen and the Aqidah and the Usul, or whether they are related to the matters of Fiqh and Ahkam and the Furu'. We believe in them because they are authentic upon the Prophet ﷺ. This is our Aqidah, Barakallahu Fikum. We believe in everything that has been narrated to us from the Prophet ﷺ. As Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, وَسُنَّةُ عِنْدَنَا آثَارُ رُسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that the sunnah with us are the narrations of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the sunnah with us. Barakallahu feekum. And then he mentioned wa sunnah. Wa sunnatu tufassiru al-Qur'an. Wa hiya dalailu al-Qur'an. And the sunnah, then it explains the Qur'an. And it is a guide to the Qur'an. Barakallahu feekum. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ أَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَهْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never spoke from his desires, but rather he was revelation that was sent to him. Naam, barakallahu feekum. It was revelation. So we are obligated to believe in that revelation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that indeed I have been sent with the Qur'an and that which is similar to it. That which is similar to it, meaning the sunnah. So be like that, my brothers and sisters. Be upon the truth and remain steadfast upon the truth. Stick to the way of the Sahaba. Stick to the books of Aqidah of the early Salaf. And hold on to that path. As the Prophet ﷺ said, عَضُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ, and hold on to that with your mawla teeth. وَالْحَمْدُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ
Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Brother Abu Khadija, is it possible to take maybe for you two or one question?
Inshallah.
Inshallah, we have a problem in Russia. Nowadays, there is a region called Dagestan. And Chechnya, but in Dagestan it's very there's a fitna going on. There are Sufis and many takfiris, and many people actually they go to study to Medina from Dagestan, but they return back, but they don't explain the books of the Aqidah. They just and when the, for example, the bombings they happen in Moscow or in other regions, they are just silent, you know. So what do you advise us with these people?
Those people who, when the munkar occurs, when the evil occurs and they do not forbid it, then they should wait, because soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy them. And those people are deficient in iman, and they are weak upon the sunnah, and they are weak adherents of Islam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ رَاءَ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا, that whomsoever amongst you sees an evil, then let him stop it with his hand. And if he is not able, then let him speak against it with his tongue. And if he is not able, then let him hate it with his heart. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and that, he said, وَذَلِكَ عَدْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, and that is the weakest level of iman. So how is it possible that a person claims to be an upholder of the deen of Islam, a follower of the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he leaves out this greatest, from the greatest of the principles of Islam, the enjoining of good and the forbidding of evil? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in his book, Allah jalla wa ala said, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, let there rise from amongst you a group of people who call to all that is good, meaning call to Islam. They enjoin the good and they forbid the evil. And then Allah mentions, wa ulaika humul muflihun, then they are the ones who are the successful. People are planting bombs, They are making takfir. They are committing, they are partaking in suicide bombings. They are destroying property. They are killing non-Muslims that it is whom it is not permissible to kill. They are waging insurgencies in places where they have no authority to do so. These individuals do so, and then these so-called teachers remain silent. Then they should wait, because Allah will destroy them. Allah will destroy them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow a group of people to allow sin to persist and fasad and fitna to continue and the deen of Allah be violated and everyone remain silent. This is not possible. So this is a proof that these people are not upon the sunnah. That they go away and they study, they come back, and people are committing crimes and sins and opposing the deen and opposing the sunnah, and bid'ah is being done in their midst and they do not speak against it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the curse of Allah is upon the innovator and the one who accommodates him, and the curse of the angels and the curse of mankind, the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. So the curse of Allah is upon those who innovate into the deen of Allah. From the greatest and the most evil of innovations is that which the Khawarij innovated into the deen of Islam by shedding the blood of those it is haram to shed blood of, by rebelling against the Muslim rulers, by carrying out insurgent attack even upon the kuffar, not permissible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whomsoever kills a non-Muslim with whom there is a contract between him and the Muslimin, then he will never smell the scent of Jannah, even though you can smell it from such and such a distance away. So it is not permissible for these people to remain silent. The Prophet ﷺ said, let not the fear of the people prevent you from speaking the truth. What are they afraid of? Do they not hope in the reward of Allah? Or is it because they remain silent about these people because they agree with them? The ulama of Ahlul Sunnah have spoken. Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz spoke against them, against these Khawarij, and against these people who carry out these types of bombings in the various parts of the world. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he spoke out against them. Sheikh Al-Albani, he spoke out against them. The Mufti Abdul Aziz, he speaks out against them. Sheikh Fawzan, he spoke out against them. Sheikh Rabi, he spoke out against them. Sheikh Ahmed Al-Najmi, Sheikh Zayd Al-Madkhali, Sheikh Ubaid Al-Jabri, Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Hadi Al-Madkhali. How many of the scholars have spoken out against these bombings? Yet these people go away and they study, and they come back and they remain silent. This is not the way of Ahlul Sunnah. Ahlul Sunnah, they speak to establish the truth. Then on top of that, they remain silent about the ideas and the behavior of the Sufiya, the Quburiya, those who worship the dead in their graves. Know for a surety that this is a clear sign that these people who have gone away and studied and claim that they have studied and come back, this is a clear sign that they are not from Ahlul Sunnah. They are not upon the way of the Salaf. They are not upon the Salafi manhaj or the Salafi aqeedah, because there is no Salafi who hears about the Khawarij and suicide bombings and the planting of bombs on trains or in buildings, whether it be in Russia or America or Britain or France or Saudi Arabia or Egypt or Pakistan or wherever it may be, except that the Salafi will speak out against that. This is not from the way of Salafiyya to remain silent in the face of this evil. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they will come, a group of people, and they will recite the Quran, and it will not go beyond their collarbones, meaning that they will not understand it. They will not comprehend it. It will not sink into their hearts. Barakallahu feekum. So be aware of them and keep away from them and their ideas. Ahlul Sunnah, we are clear with regard to terrorist activities. We are against terrorism. This, what they are committing, is not jihad. It is fasad. Barakallahu feekum. It is not jihad. Planting bombs in Moscow, assassinating people in other parts of Russia, or even in where they are. This is not from our way. This is not from the way of the Sunnah. Rather, our way is tasfiyah and tarbiyah. Purifying the deen from shirk and bid'ah and false practices and false ideas. This is our way. Tasfiyah. Purifying the deen from those who worship the graves. Because this is greater than the crime that they are with, that they claim that they are trying to get rid of or trying to oppose. The greatest crime in the sight of Allah is shirk. Yet people around them in their thousands, in those Russian republics, in their millions, are worshipping other than Allah. Like the Naqshbandiya who follow the founder of the Naqshbandiya, Naqshband al-Bukhari, Bahauddin Naqshband al-Bukhari, who was the founder of the tariqah of the Naqshbandiya. These grave worshippers that are prevalent in those Russian republics. Why don't they speak against them? Why don't they call the people to Tawheed, the Sheikh Al-Albani said? So they follow the Sunnah. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the glory and the honor that Allah gave to those who came before them. So long as they worship Allah alone, establish the Tawheed of Allah, and they do not associate partners with Allah in worship. So these individuals, they want victory and they want salvation. But they don't tread the path of salvation, as one of the Salafi said. That you wish for salvation, but you do not tread its path. Verily, a ship does not sail upon dry land. They want to establish the deen of Allah, yet they do not oppose shirk and the people of shirk. They do not oppose bid'ah and the people of bid'ah. They remain silent in the face of terrorism and killing and planting bombs in your country. Yet they claim that they are establishing the Sunnah. Which Sunnah? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they are the worst of the creation of Allah under the sky, the Khawarij. They remain silent about this wicked, evil group of people. And then they say we are establishing Islam. No, barakallahu feekum. This is not our way. We speak the haq and we hold firm to the haq. We speak against bid'ah and we are stern against bid'ah. We call to tawheed and we worship Allah alone without any partners. We warn against shirk because that is the greatest of all crimes in the sight of Allah. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih. Wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Allah does not forgive that you worship others besides Him. But He will forgive lesser than that to whomsoever He pleases. So those people who dance around the graves in those Russian republics, and they openly call upon the dead in their graves, and they go to their graves and they sacrifice to their graves, and they hold their circles of dhikr, wherein they oppose the sunnah, and they chant and they sing and they dance. So they remain silent upon that. And they remain silent about terrorism. And then they say that we are callers to Sunnah. And we have studied it. Then your studies have not benefited you. And it is not befitting that people who defend terrorism, they are not Ahlul Sunnah. People who remain silent about the Quburiyya and grave worship, it is not correct that they be described as Ahlul Sunnah or Salafis. Barakallahu
feekum. Jazakumullahu khairan. Now. And one more question, inshallah, if it's possible. We try to give some dawah, but in Dagestan, many people, those people who call themselves Ahli Sunnah, who study in Medina, they return, and when, for example, we ask them about some scholars, like we have Sheikh Ubaid and Sheikh Rabi, they keep silent and they say they have mistakes. And they nurture the people, the young people, upon hating the Sheikh Rabia, and they say whoever is with Sheikh Rabia, they are the Madkhalis and Murjia. So can you please give us a short answer, inshallah?
Our position with regard to people who speak about Sheikh Ubaid, Sheikh Rabia, scholars of Medina, and the scholars of the kingdom, with Sheikh Al-Fawzan, Sheikh Rabi, Sheikh Zayd Al-Madkhali, Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Hadi, Sheikh Ubaid Al-Jabri, Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari, in that manner, then we say that they are Mubtadi'ah. They are innovators. They are Ahlul Sunnah. Who are Ahlul Sunnah? Ahlul Sunnah are those who adhere to the path of the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger and the way of the Jama'ah. Who are the Jama'ah? The scholars. If the scholars are criticized, then how can that person claim that he is the Jama'ah? He's not Jama'ah anymore. That's why the Salaf used to say, if you find a man speaking ill of Ahmed ibn Muhammad, then not. If you find a man speaking ill of Yahya al-Qattan, then know that he's an innovator. If you find a man speaking ill of Malik ibn Anas, then know that he's an innovator. So if these people are saying, don't follow them, they are Jamiya, or they are Madakhila, Madkhaliya, or they are so-and-so, and they criticize Sheikh Rabia, bin Hadi, Umair al-Madkhali, or they criticize Sheikh Ubaid al-Jabari, Abdullah al-Bukhari, then know that they are mubtadi'a, they are innovators. Because they are trying to destroy the link between the amatun nas, between the generality of the people, the general folk and the ulama. So when that tie is broken, then the people have no one to refer to in nawazik, in the current affairs, in the affairs of tribulation and fitna. So the people have no one to refer to thereafter. So then, who becomes their leaders? These juhal. So then the people go to these ignorant people and they seek fatwa from them and they give them fatwa for terrorism and assassination and planting bombs and going to the graves and going with Jamaat al-Tabligh and Ikhwan al-Muslimin and reading the books of Sayyid Qutb. So they give them these fatwa. They lead themselves astray and they lead others astray. Those who criticize Sheikh Rabia, whomsoever criticizes Sheikh Rabi, then know that either he is a jahil, an ignorant man, or he is an innovator, mubtadi'. Like Sheikh Al-Albani said about Sheikh Rabi and Sheikh Muqbil bin Hadi Al-Wadi'i, rahimahullah, that Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, said that that no one criticizes these two, except a follower of desires, except an ignoramus, an ignorant man, or a follower of his desires. If he is ignorant, then he is taught. And inshallah, he'll be guided. Or he's a follower of his desires. In which case, may Allah guide him or break his back. How dare they speak against the ulama? The ulama about whom Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the level of the alim, fadlul alim ala al-abid, that the virtue of the scholar over the general person is like the virtue of the moon over the twinkling of the stars. This is the words of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed, the prophets, they do not leave behind neither dinar nor dirham as inheritance, but rather they leave behind ilm. And whomsoever takes that ilm, then he has taken a great treasure. Fadlul alim ala al-abid. And then he mentioned the rest of the hadith, the virtue of the scholar over the general person. So when they speak against Sheikh Rabia, Sheikh Ubaid, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hadi, Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, Sheikh al-Fawzan, Sheikh al-Luhaydan, and other than them from their brothers, from Ahlul Sunnah, then these are the very same people in the time of Imam Ahmed who used to speak against Ahmed ibn Hanbal. These are the very same people in the time of Imam Malik and Imam Shafi'i would speak against Imam Malik and Imam Shafi'i. Very same people who used to curse the ulama of the Salaf in their times, these are their representatives in these times. They are Ahlul Bid'ah. They are Mubtadi'ah. That's why I told you the narration of Ishaq ibn Rahaway. Then when he was asked, who is the Jama'ah? He said, it is Muhammad bin Aslam al-Tusi, rahimahullah. He is the Jama'ah. Just like Ibn al-Mubarak said, the Jama'ah is Abu Hamza al-Sukkari, al-Khurasani, rahimahullah. in his time. In this time, who is the Jama'ah? Rabi al-Madkhali, Ubaid al-Jabari, Salih al-Fawzan, Abdulaziz al-Sheikh, Salih al-Luhidan. These are the Jama'ah in this time, Zayd al-Madkhali and other than them. They are the Jama'ah, Barakallahu Fikum. Anyone who speaks against them, then know that he is a person of bid'ah. Don't go near them. Don't speak to them. It doesn't matter where they studied. Whether they studied in Medina or whether they studied on the moon. We don't care. How dare they go and study in those lands and come back and deceive the people. They lead themselves astray and they lead others astray. Keep away from them. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Jazakumullahu.